Two tight ends to the left. Here's the staff. Jayden's going to throw for it. He does. Into the end zone.
What a catch.
Zach Ertz, who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown! Touchdown Washington! They win it overtime! We'll see you in the postseason!
Are you freaking kidding me?
Commanders Radio with the call. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Sharif, Bobby Bell, Cowboys Insider. We got Peyton and Caitlin. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And thank y'all for sticking with us, even though you may not have any work today. Choppy will be back on Thursday. Hopefully you stayed up for last night. That was awesome. Penix versus Jayden Daniels, and the Washington Commanders officially make the playoffs in Dan Quinn's first season. 11 wins for the first time since 1991 as they beat the Falcons after a thrilling game-tying touchdown to Kyle Pitts.
Now that we're near the end of his first season and he's made the playoffs and...
We don't have time for your follow-ups right now, Bob.
Okay, fine.
Because we have, not news, but rumors, coaching stuff coming in, kind of tied to the Commanders, and I wish RJ Choppy was here for this.
Oh, baby.
Cliff. Is it Cliff?
Tom? No, it's not.
Oh.
The Jets are interviewing someone.
Oh, my gosh. Are they interviewing Ron Rivera?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sad Choppy's not here.
Tom Pelissero.
Peyton, call Choppy.
No, don't leave him alone. He says he's at the DMV all day. Tom Pelissero, the Jets are scheduled to interview Ron Rivera for their head coaching job this week. Choppy has said he thinks Ron Rivera would be a candidate here. Not that he should be, that he would be.
I know, as much as things just collapsed in Washington, and there are still so many people around the league who think highly of him.
Really?
Yep. Like they talk about, for the teams that care about culture, they think he was one of the coaches who best connects with players, knows how to discipline, but also knows how to make them feel like I care about you as a person. And I want to. There's a clip that went viral this week that had been clipped out of Hard Knocks or something like that. And it was Ron Rivera talking to Devin Funchess after Funchess had gotten in a fight at practice and he had ripped him. And then Rivera pulls him aside and he's like, hey, come here, come talk to me. He's like, what's going on? He's like, because this isn't you, so what's going on? And Funchess starts like breaking down and telling him, my cousin got shot and killed and the funeral was today and I didn't want to miss practice, but I'm upset at myself that I didn't, like he didn't go. He felt like he couldn't miss it. And Rivera just sits there and connects. He's like, I totally understand the context for why you're snapping then. He's like, so I get it. Take the rest of the day off. But just know, like, you don't have to wait to tell me that. Like, you can tell me, like, I'm here. And that's the kind of thing that players connect with that. And he's still a disciplinarian. He'll still kick your ass when you're screwing up. But I think that's why people around the league still respect him.
This would be a more disheartening and dispiriting move than McCarthy even returning back here for the Jets fans. So disheartening.
Based on what you read in that Athletic article about the Jets turmoil.
Yeah.
What kind of coach do you think they need? Do they need a culture guy more than anything else?
Yes.
So maybe that's why they're thinking Rivera.
Did he fix the Washington culture?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same sort of issue.
Are you going to blame
it's ownership
Snyder's
down.
Still there.
Yeah, I mean, it is ownership down in a lot of ways. Vrabel, I think, would be good in New York. Did you see I saw this quote. I have not listened to it yet, but I read it. Did you see the quote from Jeff Ulbrich last night, the Jets?
Interim.
Yeah, interim coach?
No.
He was asked about how Aaron Rodgers played, and he said, I've got to look at the tape. Honestly, I didn't get to see a whole lot of the offense. I was doing a lot of defensive adjustments, especially in the first half, and he's getting destroyed by Jets fans and New York media for, you're saying you don't know what happened with your offense during the game?
Is he the offensive guy?
He was the defensive coordinator. But still,
yeah,
that you can't just not know what's happening with the offense because you're off talking to the defense.
So that is the Ron Rivera interview that is taking place. May not be anything more than that. I hate to be this person.
We know what it is. You still got to have two Rooney Rule interviews.
Minority interview.
And it's...
Minority candidate.
It's frustrating that that's even a suggestion that we have to make because it makes it sound like, are you not respect... But that is the reality of what has happened.
And what are the ties to Rivera to the 33rd team? Because the 33rd team is supposed to be put in charge. Mike Tannenbaum, that website. I don't know if Bill Polian's still there. Zimmer contributed to them for a little bit this past offseason. They're supposed to be heading up or having a major say in this hire.
Yeah, and he's done a couple, like, I know he's done interviews with them. He's friends with some of the people. Obviously, it's a coaching network, basically, that is over at the 33rd team. So if they're doing the evaluation and they know that some of their people, they're like, well, Ron's good. Ron's looking to get back in, and they have some of that, then that's good. The 33rd team, I swear, that's going to be that's going to change things, I think, over the next 5 to 10 years, because you're starting to see it already. The way McCarthy went into, not in the lab, but went into the barn with PFF and kind of remade his image. You've seen coaches, Doug Peterson did it, Zimmer did it. Like, you're seeing coaches go do analysis for the 33rd team when they're off or they're taking a year off so that they can kind of stay in network and stay on top of trends. And so I think you're going to see a lot of coaches that come out of that. And this is specifically with the Jets doing the hiring process like this. It makes sense that Rivera would get incorporated because it's so many old guard coaches.
Patriots Twitter wants Gerard Mayo to be one and done. Fire Mayo started emerging at Gillette Stadium when they got humiliated and stomped by the Chargers. He has really butchered the press conferences. It shows you the value of speaking to the public when you are inconsistent, when you're unstable, when you just flip-flop back and forth. Gerard Mayo has been getting killed for that. In addition to the Patriots on the field, what do you think of the chances that the Crafts would wipe Mayo out? They want Mike Vrabel to not get taken by someone else and get Mayo out of there.
I'm stunned that it, I mean, I guess I'm not that stunned. It is, they've seemed so messy since Brady left and then the exit of Belichick and everything else.
You messy.
But I mean, he was somebody who, like you mentioned it when you guys interviewed him. Like, you felt like, oh, that's a future head coach. That guy's locked in. They have nitpicked him to hell. That one story we talked about a couple weeks ago where he was forced to apologize for saying, I played in a Super Bowl where those decisions worked. You can't evoke that. That's Belichick in a Super Bowl made that coaching decision. You can't claim that. It's just, it feels like they've held him to an unfair standard. It's the whole, you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy. It's that old adage.
Well, look, and again, I'll invoke Choppy here. He would say, you sure you want Mike McCarthy gone when you see what Sean Payton and Zach Taylor did? The botching of coaching decisions in that epic Saturday game between the Bengals and the Broncos that Cincinnati ended up winning. That was a checkmate of PU back and forth between those two.
Well, and is it something where you, like it's the whole...
Sean Payton not going for two. Trying to sell to the media. Well, I guess we got to start with Zach Taylor. And again, you use these other coaching mistakes to evaluate your own because we are in a vacuum here, just studying the Cowboys and watching them every single week and not watching as many snaps from the other teams. Zach Taylor scores a touchdown too early. We agree on that?
Yes.
Versus kneeling. It's like, all right, let's pad stats. Let's get Chase Brown a touchdown. Let's get Joe Burrow in the end zone.
Yep.
Zach Taylor scores too early, allows Denver to go ahead and score the touchdown to tie or win. Now, if the Broncos tie or win, they're in the playoffs. Sean Payton decides to kick the extra point, go for overtime. This was Sean Payton's justification.
We spent some time thinking about, I'm going to answer this now. All right, going for two. We knew a tie, though, was for us just as beneficial as a win. And we felt like we had the momentum at that point. So, look, it went back and forth. And in the end, we didn't make enough plays. They did. All right. Any questions?
Sean Payton thinks, like Mike Gundy, he can just bully, and his attitude towards the reporters will just make everyone not ask the follow-up or stop criticizing him. That he comes out forceful and goes, we already thought about this. You know, the free kick, we planned for that. We already covered it in practice. He thinks, because he's a Parcells wannabe, that by him being a hard ass, he can get everyone to kneel.
I did have it said to me, by the way, though, because somebody did hear us talking about the Peyton thing. I did have it said to me, somebody told me, they said Parcells did used to practice that with Sean Payton all the time, and so Peyton probably has kept it going, the free kicks. He said they used to practice it every Saturday. And so it's possible, at least, that he did learn it from Parcells.
Well, I would like your Cowboys person or whoever it was defend Sean Payton not going for the two here. In my opinion,
I'll defend him.
Defend it.
I think when you're talking about the absolute getting crushed against, like the narrative of, if you were to talk about you went for two, you lose the game
yep.
against a Cincinnati defense that has been so porous that you feel like, hey, we've had one of the best defenses in the NFL. We're going to be able to move the ball down the field if we get into overtime. This is a team where we're currently in a comfortable spot in the standings, but this is the team that's hard charging behind us and might take our spot. We can't take unnecessary risks. I think if this is week two of the season, you go for two. Or if it's a winner go home, you go for two. I think given where their position was, I don't hate
the But don't tell me you were going to play for the tie. Don't tell me that kicking the extra point, going into overtime, y'all were going to be scoreless in overtime. That's stupid. And then he called timeouts in overtime. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't trying to bleed the clock. So the timeout usage did not match up with what happened with kicking.
Sure.
In my opinion as well, anyone who argues with me that the Broncos were playing better in that moment offensively than Cincy, I would completely disagree with.
Yeah.
This is where the context, because I was watching this play by play, snap for snap, because it allowed me to win one of my two fantasy football championships.
Did you beat Eric?
I've been waiting. Yeah, I beat him down.
I beat him. You're welcome.
I just didn't beat him. Beat him down, and then I'll capture my other tonight in my college league. So I was. I needed Burrow because he had Lamar go off in his game, and I needed Burrow. And I'm like, Burrow's. I mean, they're rolling right now. I felt like now it was 14-14 fourth quarter, but if you told me they're going to overtime, I was going to bet on Cincinnati in that overtime. That was my feeling in the moment. And Sean Payton's supposed to be Mr. Aggressive, Mr. Onside in the Super Bowl, Mr. Let's go for it. Go ahead and go for two and get yourself into the postseason. Now you are left for Kansas City to decide your fate because you have to have help from the Chiefs in order for you to get in. So you are fine. Just don't say you were going to say you thought you were going to be the better team in overtime, but this whole thing with the tie, no. You weren't going to go scoreless in OT, I didn't think.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, that the revisionist history or the attempt to explain, that's because I do think it is the just play for the tie. Or like play for the tie in that moment, get into overtime and believe you're going to be able to move the ball on them. Because Cincinnati's been great offensively this year. We talked about it when they were playing Dallas. But the problem is that is a bad defense that I think overtime you can say, look, through four quarters, this is going to balance out to us eventually because we have one of the better defenses in the NFL. We're going to be able to move on Cincy.
The Giants fall from 1-4 by beating Indianapolis and eliminating the Colts yesterday. Are the Giants totally screwed? Or are we overreacting to this? New England at 1 is not taking a quarterback they like, maybe even love Drake May. Tennessee 2, not happy with Levis. Cleveland 3, Deshaun has been a disaster. Even though he's supposed to come back, they reworked the contract. Giants 4, Jacksonville 5. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders wearing Giants cleats.
Man.
Either way, you can laugh at the Giants. You want to be in the position of power.
Yeah, you do want that. You
can have your guy fall to you, but you need everyone above you to cooperate, and you for damn sure don't want to trade up with how much that's going to cost.
Yeah, I keep trying to find something that's analogous to our profession or whatever else, where I try to think about if we're in a situation where struggles or something else, like I can't find anything that's perfectly analogous to say.
It's just take a fantasy draft. I can talk about it. I'm a 2-time champion this year.
Got you down.
Would you rather have the number one pick or like the number four pick and be like, I think I'm going to get this guy. I want him. I think I'm going to get him. But that uncertainty and that nervous, that sucks. Versus just like, all right, let's just be in control.
Well, yeah, and that's why
let's have the power.
Like, that's why I can't even, for instance, I've mentioned on the air here, you're starting to hear a lot of rumblings around the league that Antonio Pierce is, there's a lot of toxicity in the Raiders organization or with that team right now that a lot of people feel like he's responsible for. That he's not the culture builder that they thought he was. And they've won their last two games. And so, like, kind of tying it back to when we talk about playing hard for somebody, I don't think the opinion around the league is that those players are playing hard for Antonio Pierce, but they are still playing and they're being competitive. I wonder if it's just one of those things where it's to get to the NFL, you have to have a competitiveness that you cannot look past it and tank in any sort of respect if you're on the field.
By the way, the Cowboys move up from 15-13, and hopefully Team Tank keeps moving up with a loss to the Commanders on Sunday. But what about the culture, Sharif?
And my hair. Yes.
Oh, yeah, Bobby. Head shaved.
Which
live.
Would you want more, pick 17 or me to be bald?
Bald. Nick Eatman says he could have seen yesterday coming. It was brewing all week. What does he mean by that? Nick back from Filthy. He joins us from DallasCowboys.com after this.
Back to throw. They blitz him. He throws it left. It's intercepted at the 30. Right to the 40. Across midfield and the sideline. And this is coming all the way. It's a pick six for the Philadelphia Eagles. 70-yard return.
Brad Sham with the call in the home of the Cowboys. They get smoked 41-7. One of the two really, really bad interceptions from Cooper Rush. I'm Sean Sharif. Excuse me. I think so. Alongside finishing a sun chip, and Tim Collins walked in with a shocking gift for me that I will be regifting to a special Tolo at some point in time.
What is it?
Dak Prescott autograph signed football.
Well,
in fact, I guess I could just give it to you. Wow, I got this from the holiday party.
That's as close as this show's ever going to get to Dak again.
Hey, do what he wants. You want to be sensitive and all that stuff?
Relax.
Zeke, you guys can be sensitive if you want. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino. Oh, Nick, and now Nick hung up. Now Nick hung up, probably because of your little crack right there.
My crack? I was making a joke. It was like,
I don't let things go like that. Very rare. Very rare. I'm not afraid to bring things out or talk about things. So if you tee it up, I'm going to take a swing.
All right.
Nick's article, though, DallasCowboys.com, says could see this outcome brewing all week. What does that mean? Just to recap, our star up, star down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the NFL. My star ups, Jalen Tolbert, third straight week with a touchdown. He did it with a broken finger. Mike Zimmer's first quarter defense. Philly had six plays in the first quarter. That was their fewest all year in that quarter for 14 yards. I had Kendricks and Leofau with some props. Deron Bland keeping A.J. Brown quiet for most of the day. And then Rico, the big star down, of course, is going to be Cooper Rush with the throws. Booth at corner. Where was Micah? Do we have Nick? All right, we got Nick here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right. Could see this outcome brewing all week. What does that mean?
I mean, you could just tell that it was going to be a game like this. I mean, to me, and I said it in the article, of course that they made the right decision with CD, but when I just feel like it's really hard to, when you do that, it's hard to not tell everybody else, like, all right, this is kind of the mindset now. You know, I'm not saying they're waving the right white flag, but they maybe had it in their hand. I mean, like, that's just kind of what it means. And they shut down a lot of players. Well, there's a lot of players all year long that have been shut down like this. But just the kind of the way this one went down with Christmas in the middle of the week, you changed the schedule around. You had other guys that were kind of banged up. Philly's playing for the division. You're playing for, what, a winning record. You could just tell that after the game that they had against the Bengals, and then the Bucks and Panthers and all that, all these games, you could just tell that the bottom was going to drop here at some point. And then, you know, by shutting down CD, you just kind of got that feeling that it could be a game like this.
Nick, when we look at because you mentioned this on Friday, that you thought that some of the shutting down we were seeing was indicative of where the Joneses were leaning about McCarthy coming back. That by shutting some people down, it could indicate, hey, maybe he's not having to coach for his job at this point if they're comfortable just kind of, you know, setting things up this way. Do you think there's anything that could happen in these final 2 weeks? When you get a blowout like that, is there anything in the last 2 weeks that he would be evaluated for? Do you think the Joneses are just like, you know, we've probably got enough information at this point to make a decision?
I would think so. I would think that they have, like, the latter. I would think that they have enough things right now to make a decision. You know, the way things have gone, just look at that game yesterday. Like, they were just out superstarred. And even with the Eagles not having their starting quarterback, I mean, they just have so many other options. And it's the same game two times in a row now against Philly. A close game for a little bit. But then the more you just keep leaning on them, next thing you know, it's a blowout. It's 34-6. It's 41-7. I mean, it's the same type of game both times. And they're competitive. You just, after a while, you just can't match their superstars. So when I say that to say, you know, you look at these last couple of games and look what the Cowboys are playing with, look who they're not playing with, look what these other teams are playing for. It I don't know. I mean, you can play spoiler all you want to, but I think that at the end of the day that they just don't have the talent to fight some of these teams that are all going into the playoffs.
Is Trey Lance going to get an opportunity this weekend? There was a lot of clamoring from people yesterday that go, look, you don't have anything you're playing for. Cooper Rush is playing poorly. Why not just let Trey Lance play the second half?
Yeah. I mean, they've been too late. I wouldn't have a problem putting him in later in the game or in the second half or even to start this game. I mean, at this point.
But why won't they? We know that they're not going to, probably.
I don't know. I don't know that they will or they won't. It's more about what, like, are they they're going to try to re-sign Cooper Rush, I would imagine, at the end of the season. So, you know, that's what I would work on. That's what I would try to focus on is what, you know, that relationship there. I don't think starting Trey Lance is going to hurt that relationship or anything like that. And if anything, it's helping him maybe get a chance to go to free agency and get some looks. But I think it seems pretty clear that they're not going to re-sign him. Kyle Shanahan knew that it was done with him, and that's why they traded him. And the Cowboys said, hey, let's look at this. Let's see what we've got here. We don't have Dak under contract. We don't have Cooper Rush under contract after the next year. Let's just see. Let's see, you know, we liked him at some point. Let's see what he's got. And I think that they figured out what he has and what he doesn't have. And so I don't think they're going to bring him back. You can play him if you want to. I mean, they're playing a lot of guys in that game yesterday, 25 included, that there's not going to be on the team next year. So, I mean, this is one of those things. You got to get through it.
Nick Eatman here on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby told me you all touched on it last week, but when did it kind of click for you or you said to yourself, all right, McCarthy is coming back? And be Jerry or Steven in me asking you, what's the justification for it?
Well, I don't know if I've said 100% he's coming back. I think the question was, you know, the 60-40, 75, yeah. You know, leaning that way. And I still feel that way. I think that, you know, when you look at a coach that has had success here with this team, and he has. I mean, I think when you look at what they were banking on last year, when you said, all right, what we set up there at Oxnard and Jerry in front of everybody, what did he say? What number did he throw out? He threw out 10 Pro Bowlers from last year. He threw out 14 Pro Bowlers on this team that they're going to lean on. Well, that's what they did, and that's what they tried to lean on. When you look at those guys, you know, of those 10 Pro Bowlers and the 14 guys that have made a Pro Bowl, I believe the number is 11 of them have missed the game due to injury this year. You know, and half of that have been on IR. So, yeah, I mean, it's we say it around here all the time. It's not an excuse, but it's the reason. It's the reason why.
Oh. Jerry pulled the plug.
It's over. Yeah, it's just like, no.
It's over.
Yeah, you said enough right there. Yeah, that's all we needed to hear.
Same question to you in terms of when did it click for you? Or when did you say, all right, I think this is happening? Was it after this weekend?
Friday, that's why I started asking around more, because Friday when we interviewed him, he did not sound like somebody who was worried about his job. He sounded like somebody who was completely comfortable.
But he was ticked to Brad Sham in the pregame interview you all played.
Before they went out there and fought, and before they may have, I think he got a sense during the week, or he's at least comfortable with the thought. He strikes me as somebody who's comfortable with the thought that he believes he's coming back. And I felt that Friday.
Break up the pie of the job he's done. Or job he's done in the past with 12 win teams. Job this year. Rest of the coaching market. If this all happens.
So he deserves, like I said, a ton of credit for the way that he's been able to get teams to play well when they're really depleted.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is it feels like...
Because as Woolchuck said, under Garrett... When they lost people like this, it felt like they just folded up.
We had that number
not
there for
quit,
forever.
But just no chance, helpless.
There was a stretch of like they lost 8 games in a row when Sean Lee wouldn't play, or they were 1-9, like you say, when Tyron Smith didn't play, or somebody like that. So yeah, they've crumbled in a lot of those circumstances before. Whereas McCarthy's teams kind of step up. I think one of the things they have to answer if they're bringing him back is, okay, Mike, we're impressed that you did this. Why doesn't it work with our biggest investments? We spent so much money here.
Yeah.
Why are we falling short? And the Cowboys need to figure out, is that player problem? Is that coach problem? Is that our problem? Are we good at identifying talent? We're bad at roster building. Like, I think they have to figure out there's a problem here somewhere and identify what it is. But I mean, they need a culture guy.
Let's bring Nick back. Nick, go ahead and finish up your thoughts on McCarthy.
I thought I was getting cut off, guys. I thought I was like, oh, did Bobby just push the magic button and said no thanks?
That's not this building.
I think that, I just believe, and again, I've said this 100 times, the Saints game is still there. It's going to be there, and you have to address it, okay? So this is not a 100% injury issue team, but as they were trying to navigate through this, turn things around, figure out what's going on defense, figure out how to move the ball on offense, the injuries did pile up, and that's, you can't argue that, but there is an issue here that they've got to figure out. They've got to figure out how, from a philosophy standpoint, if they're not going to attack free agency, because they don't do that, then they've got to swing for the fences somehow, some way, because the Eagles are doing it, and they're beating you. They're swinging for the fences for Barkley to get them. They're getting first-round trades for A.J. Brown. They're getting them there. And they're also paying a quarterback like the Cowboys are as well. So they're going to have their issues with contracts, but they are making bigger splashes. And the Cowboys can't just say, we're going to pick Daron Bland in the fifth round and Jake Ferguson's in the fourth round, and we're going to keep hitting, because that stuff doesn't always work. So there's got to be some kind of change as far as how they're acquiring some of these players to try to keep up.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, Nick, so you remember a couple years ago, it was after 21, it felt like the big push from them all offseason was, we've learned our team isn't physical enough. We have to get more physical. We have to get nastier, because that killed us all year long. If they're going to run back things with McCarthy or say, yeah, look, continuity is important there, what do you think is their big takeaway when they look back on the struggles outside of just injuries? What do they look at and say, this is where we've got an issue, and we've got to fix that?
Yeah, man, just one?
I mean, the overriding one, the one we'll hear about at Senior Bowl.
That's smart. I think it's going to have to be the offense. I mean, it's going to have to be, again, if it's physicality on the line of scrimmage, but I think more from the offensive line. And the offensive line did play better, but, you know, at the end of the season, just this last game here, I mean, Chuma Edoga is still rotating with Tyler Guyton at left tackle, a healthy Tyler Guyton. And so who saw that? Who saw that coming of, like, this is how it's going to end? It was supposed to be maybe the first game that you do that, or the second, and then Guyton takes over, and he hasn't been able to do that. And so, but they've got to fix more of the offensive line, because if you do that, if you can fix the line, if you can run the ball, then you can run with whoever you want back there. But I still think they need a little bit more talented back. I think Rico's a solid number two. I think they need more talent there. But I also think it helps Dak. It helps everybody. And I think it's okay to admit, yes, we paid Dak this. That's what the going rate is for quarterbacks. That's what he's earned. Great. But he still needs help. You still can rely on a running game. I think the Bills have a Cook has got 14, 15 rushing touchdowns, and Josh Allen's one of the best in the games. Those guys need help. It's okay to say, give the guy a running game and lean on that.
Great stuff, boss. We appreciate it. Get some sleep.
All right, guys. See you Wednesday.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort.
He will not see us Wednesday, but that's okay.
Why not?
Well, because we're off Wednesday. It's January 1st.
Good point. Crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece, including probably the biggest Bobby fight I've ever seen, the maddest I've ever been at Bobby. The guy who helped cause it is co-hosting. Crosstalk with the fellas is next.
Pickett in the gun. Snap is back. They rush him. He avoids the pressure. He throws the left side of the end zone. Wide open touchdown. Running away from Booth, Devontae Smith. The Eagles have regained the lead.
That's Crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece.
Was that Calvin Booth? The guy, the lefty who made the layup off the Michael Finley pass in 2001? To get the Mavs back on the map as an NBA basketball team.
This sounds like Mike Bassett is ready to go.
And then Calvin Booth signed with the Seattle Supersonics.
Sweet offer
and then
sheet.
He went back to being Calvin Booth.
It's close to.
And now
to,
he's the general manager of the Nuggets, right?
Close to about as well as I know that game yesterday would have been that whole scenario with Booth.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm going to be honest. I don't even know who Booth is.
Andrew Booth. You mean the corner?
Yeah. Like, did we draft him?
We traded for him. He was a second-round pick for the Vikings a couple years ago. We traded Nashawn Wright for him. It was like, here's our failed corner for your failed corner.
Oh, the tall guy.
The tall guy was Nashawn Wright.
Yeah, he's tall. But yes. He wasn't on like Dane Brugler's draft board, right? Nashawn Wright. Like a lot of people are like, I didn't even watch him play, but the Cowboys do see something in him.
He was like in the sixth round. Something like that on Dane's.
Will Chambers joining Mikey today. What's coming up on the show?
Well, we're going to get into how the Cowboys...
Four hours of phone calls.
Do I need to ask you this?
Yeah.
We got one Cowboy phone call today. That's never happened before.
Well, Will, tell them what's coming up for our first segment.
First segment is that the interest level, where were you with it? So I was kind of called in, out of the bullpen as of a couple days ago, and I had something planned yesterday. I mean, just to play golf, but it's been a long time since I've been able to play with some injuries. So I had it on in the car. We're texting. I was like, but I'm not locked into this game. And once it went ugly, so where was everybody else's interest level in this game? But I think that we're in a bad place with this football team, and it's not going to change next year. And I don't think it's going to change the year after. Bobby, one of the things, and we talked about this on Saturday, so I kind of wanted to ask you, you know.
You and Bobby talked?
Did
he socialize with you?
CA and
I
did.
We've done Cowboys crosstalk and everything since.
Okay.
Since we've been out, since you erroneously said
I had a top three blow up. That doesn't even crack the top 10, I don't think.
Top three, what, that day?
Yeah. Sean said that was Sean said that was the maddest he's ever been at me.
It wasn't the maddest. But
I was going to say, with you, I mean, you've had three larger blow-ups on the air than you did that day.
There's different rankings for Bobby. There's angry at him, and then there's childish rankings, and then there's walkout rankings. That's his big move that he likes to do. He likes to just storm off and walk out. That's what he did with you that day. It's looking like Shador will not be going number one, Will, because of the New England Patriots.
Well, we talked about that, too. He still will, because I think the Patriots will move out of the pick. Like, the quarterback goes number one now, unless you have, I think, one of those talents like a Myles Garrett.
Well, even if they're 5'7", they go first overall now.
Yeah. So, but anyway, my question to you was, in regards to the Cowboys, should we have really had these kind of expectations? I went back and looked at 9 guys that played against the Cleveland Browns had been undrafted free agents, that this roster was not built. The guys that were there to replace the defensive linemen that, you know, they let go, right or wrong in doing so, were guys that they already had on the roster. That the biggest problem that they have is 4 guys that make up, at least at this point, 32% of their cap. How is that going to change when you're going to be now putting Micah into that and probably taking Zach Martin out? And it's going to be an even bigger number.
I think Steven's already prepped us the last 2 weeks where he's like, yeah, we're going to be tight in the belt again this year, which means they're going to approach it the same way. But yeah, I think...
They have to remain healthy.
I mean,
the stars have to remain healthy.
They have to be completely... They have to have, honestly, unsustainable health. Because I know I said it ad nauseum this offseason, but guy 1 through 22, their starting lineup on both sides of the ball, they're still one of the better rosters in the NFL when they're all healthy. The problem was that guy 23 through 53, they were one of the worst rosters in the NFL. They lost all their depth. They didn't replace any of it. They didn't have the draft capital to replace any of it. And it was one of those things where as soon as you start getting hit with injuries, you're going to have problems. But the bigger issue with them was before they even got hit with injuries, they were having trouble playing well.
Right. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. But I look at Philadelphia and I say, okay, you have got 8 guys on their team. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, both their tackles, Mailata and Lane Johnson, and both their corners, Slay and Bradbury, that comprise this year 31% of their salary cap on the Philadelphia Eagles. Dak, Diggs, CeeDee, and Zach Martin, 32%. That's half the guys. And now I wonder if you signed the deals with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott earlier than they did, could they have deferred money, spread it around, and done more in free agency?
I don't think they regret. I think their only regret, and we asked Jerry about this on Tuesday, and he would not play ball with it, but I think, if anything, their regret is we did it too early. I think that they would just say, like, we could have played this out. We could have created more leverage just based on how the season went.
Caitlin, I need you to zoom in here for a second. I'm sorry, Will. I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. Can we look at this? I thought Choppy was the only Michael Wilbon. Get on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Look at this.
Look at this old school.
Hey, everybody has their way.
Yellow pad, Will Chambers note taker. What are these tallies? What's on off? On off? On off? What is this? What is this supposed to be?
I have no idea.
Bassett, were you looking at him weird? Does anyone else that you work with keep these notes like this? Look at this, y'all. Look at this scratch here with no typing, this is how email.
This is how the process of how I remember things and learn them is part of writing it down. Because if you're of a certain age, you took notes.
How old are you?
45.
Okay.
I'm 43. Damn.
Much to the huge surprise at one point early last month to Jared Sandler. He's like, I really thought you were 43.
Oh, wow. What a huge miss. Goodness.
No, a huge miss.
43. Wow.
The first time I was co-hosting with Sean on something, Sean was trying to make some point. He's like, for instance, we're roughly the same age. How old are you? I was like, 33. Oh, okay. Well, never mind. We're not as close as I thought. We're like 8 years apart. And he thought, I get told all the time, like, I look like I'm 10 years older than I am.
Yeah, you look. You act 10 years younger like mm-hmm. a child, but you look older.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bell curve there is a wide
but
one.
But look at this. This curve. Is impressive. So you don't type.
There you go.
You don't type out the notes or anything.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a writer.
Mike, were you working last week?
No.
Okay. I was about to say, you came in here with some nice energy today, so I knew you had to be off.
Steely Dan was very, very sad you weren't there to take a Cronut.
I listened to Will and Chris. Were you on Saturday?
Yeah. I don't
know
what
you said.
Days.
I'm not going to talk to you guys till after the new year, like as you guys were maybe signing off or end of a segment. And then yesterday I get a text. You're working with Will Chambers. Yeah.
And Bobby was wondering if you were high or tired this morning because your eyes, they look a mess.
Yeah. What I look like in the morning.
Glossy eyed. You got wrinkles and bags under there.
What time do you usually wake up at? And you can
I woke
talk
up at the normal
time.
But yesterday, I mean, I had, had a few beers on the course. So anytime I do that and then I wake up, same normal time, 6:30 today, but the bags.
What time
is it the bags or is it the gloss?
The gloss.
Both. It's the bags.
I know you're bringing this up. I thought the same thing when I walked into our workroom. I was like, is Will high?
Yeah, he looks like he's covering for G-Bag, not KNC.
What time did you play golf?
Let's see, 11:24.
Okay, so you played at noon and you're acting like... You hosted a show at 10 o'clock.
It was
you
a Sunday, like, beautiful day. I bet it was freaking 6 hour round. I can't stand those days.
It was a long round. And plus we were drinking the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why.
All right. So you were hurting.
Not really hurting. Just, the body is, tired. When I wake up, it's not pretty.
So you went back and rewatched the Cowboy game.
Yeah. took extensive notes. On the Cowboys.
We won't answer this because it's coming up in the first segment. We want the Tolos to kind of participate.
Yeah.
Did you watch the second half?
Yes.
And why?
Only because of this show. I have so much respect for Cowboy fans who are watching this and it's not tied to their work. Like, why? Why would you ever have... Why would you ever been watching the past 2 or 3 weeks... Or even when Dak went down. Like, to watch that game yesterday, you either have to, you love the Cowboys so much or you hate Philadelphia that much. In no world would I ever have that game. I was waiting to go to CBS to pick up my kid's medicine, and I'm just like, end this, for God's sake. It was torture.
I just, I'm
maybe
not wasting
for, that specialty
two
fight.
More hours of my life on that.
Oh, well, just in case something happens, like, an injury, a fight, the special teams melee that, just in case something happens. But no, only in case something happens for this show purposes.
It allows you to be angry at them and angrier at them. And sometimes we like that as sports fans.
There's nothing to
with
be
our own teams.
No one in this room should be. My anger left a long time ago. I think Corey and Kevin get a little angry.
Oh, no, I think from a fan standpoint, just being a glutton for punishment. I am not a glutton for punishment. I mean, I had that bad boy on red zone in the second half.
Yeah, what was it? What was it? How did you react to Justin Fields being traded?
Three burger on the old board Thursday night. I didn't react well to it. I didn't react. That was that's probably the biggest blow up I had just within myself.
For the Bears?
Not at somebody. Yeah, it wasn't about them trading. It was like they got nothing.
Why do you ever have expectations for them? Like, why? I mean,
for the Bears?
Yeah, like, I understand you're like that's
talent level.
Like,
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
They never accomplish anything.
So I took my nephew to his first NFL game, his first Cowboys game.
Wow.
For Monday Night Football. And he was asking me about, where the Bengals are on that, on my Pantheon, like, fandom. And he's like, He's like, I love the Cowboys, but I wish I didn't, but I'm already, it's too late now. And I started laughing. I was like, yeah. I was like, I get it. I was like, you think I like being angry every Sunday, like watching that team?
I feel like you should be more of a, not be a Lions fan, but you should be more like a Lions fan. They have so much joy right now because they've gone through so much pain. And I get it. Like, hell, Rex Grossman has gone to a Super Bowl more recently than the Dallas Cowboys.
Jeez. But,
what was your stat? That you
had. Oh, the day after the Super Bowl, Mike, Super Bowl's February 9th. So on February 10th, more time will have elapsed from the Cowboys' last Super Bowl victory than time had elapsed from their last Super Bowl victory and Super Bowl one.
Oh, wow.
It's insane where it's going.
Bassett, let me ask you this, though, because you said 0% chance. Bobby had said 2, then he jumped to 70. McCarthy back now?
So I want to really discuss this tomorrow, but I am flipping, not to 100%, but all of a sudden, if you want to make the headlines, because Jerry doesn't really care about who the coach is, he can still do that and create a huge headline. But I think he is comfortable. And I mean, I'm not being a D here. I guess you could say I am. He is close to death. Like, he's close to 100 years old. We are closer to 0 than 100, all of us in this room. He's way closer to 100 than 0. And I don't think he wants a lot of change in his life at this point. And
he doesn't want to rebuild.
And so
rebuild.
Maybe he still does it because, like, I'm going to guess 50% of Cowboy fans didn't watch the second half yesterday. I'm with you that the true diehards are like, I don't know what they're watching for, but they decided to just, I'm going to waste my life for another hour and a half and watch this. Is he can create the headline on all the network. Because if the Cowboys do go on a coaching search, it will be the number one story in the NFL offseason. Nothing will trump it. Nothing will come close to it.
Right.
So that is awesome for Jerry Jones. But how do you not do anything but somewhat praise? I know that I have somebody here who can say otherwise, and I get it. But how can you do anything but praise what Mike McCarthy has been able to accomplish this year? How in the world does this team have 7 wins?
Oh.
How in the world do they have 7 wins?
Well, they face scrubs.
True.
And they, you know, so they, I don't even want to get out.
No, I know. It's a whole topic tomorrow.
No, and I asked you.
I'm not flipping to 100% Mike McCarthy's back. I've never been a Mike McCarthy hater. I do think he's a good coach. I don't think he's great.
Yeah.
I think you can do better. Jerry refuses to ever go down that route of what could be better, though. So what's the point?
Mike Bassick.
I mean, I was just going to say, that's the point. Is this the guy that is going to get you a Super Bowl win? I think this is why Bobby gets so upset, because you could be a good coach, you could be good enough to get yourself wins, but is it good enough to win ultimately what we're here for? And I think that's where the frustration comes in with, you know, Mike McCarthy.
Mike Bassick and Will Chambers.
Oh, you want to stick around?
I do not.
You haven't worked for a week. Why not work another hour?
KFC Masterpiece, next to the Fan.